Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley. Josh.
Oh, sorry. I was on my phone.
You were fubbing me.
Whoa. Oh, what did you say?
You were fubbing me.
Oh, new terminology out of the Urban Dictionary. Fubbing, P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G, means snubbing by paying more attention to your cell phone than to your
companion.
Social surroundings.
Your that social is right. surroundings.
The world is full of fubbers.
I apologize. I did not mean to fub.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If my wife would wear my phone on her forehead, everything would be just fine.
Does anyone have a good number for a marital counselor? Because Clint Gaylor might be in need of one shortly.
I'm not fubbing. I manage like 10 social media accounts.
You are fubbing. When we're at date night or on our anniversary date,
Instagramming
his 32-pound steak.
Okay, I did do that. It was huge.
It was huge.
I had to tell the world about it. By my nature, I have to tell the world about great things.
Okay, here is what I don't understand. Fubbing is such a problem in our society today. But yet, when I'm on my social media accounts, they're like so lame right now. They're lame and boring and full of advertisements. So why is everyone looking at their phones? Unless maybe they're looking at themselves. Do you think they're walking around like looking at themselves on their phone?
I do that a couple times a day, maybe. Just really? To make sure if things are right, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you walk out of the house and you're like, dude, I did not look in a mirror today.
Oh, I do. I always, like out of the shower, that's the only time I behold myself. And I have a nice little long conversation about how wonderful you are and you look just like your daddy. And
yeah.
All those good affirmations that...
Yeah. Yeah, what does Judah say in the mirror?
Boom shakalaka, looking good, looking good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big fubber, so.
The other day, Nick and I, we were actually doing some pre-pro in the studio, and he gave me the impression of Clint Kaler.
Oh, no.
And he grabbed his phone. He got a very serious look on his face, and he just started flipping his thumb up the screen.
Yep. Story of my life. I am an amazing woman.
That's only because Nick and I went on a cross-country trip last year. It was just him and I. And the dude is like crazy.
Yeah. If you go on a road trip with Nick Smith, you're guaranteed to come back clinically insane.
I needed medication, and I didn't have any, so all I had was my phone. So my only me time was phone.
Your me time with your phone.
It's a prerequisite to the trip. It was, if I'm looking at my phone, leave me alone.
Ah, oh, I get it.
It's the silent cue given.
Well, I'm thinking that it's time to get rid of the smartphones and go back to flip phones.
Why? Oh, yeah?
Why? Because then you couldn't fub people with your flip phone.
Sure you could. It'd just be in really low resolution.
But it would be silly.
It was silly. Do you remember taking pictures with your flip phone?
Yeah, they were horrible.
They were terrible.
Just ridiculous.
I loved it. I want a flip trash. Phone. Somebody buy me a flip phone and send it to me.
I've got an old Nokia Razor out in the box somewhere.
Is it red?
It works.
Is it red?
No, it's silver.
I had a red Razor.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
it was my favorite phone. I lost it to a child.
That was the coolest phone on the market at the time.
The Razor.
It was awesome.
Actually, I just got off the phone just a little while ago with our good old friend Josh Gilbert. He just recently moved to the Orlando, Florida area from Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he had cultivated a worship community there. He was doing house fires and worship nights, and I think he did a couple of Unite Worship gatherings, but has really followed Next Gen Worship Broadcast closely. And of course, we're longtime friends. Way before the broadcast, Josh used to come out and do worship nights at our church and would stay here with us. He's just a really good friend. So we're going to be talking with him later on in the show about navigating transition, which is our topic of discussion for today on the broadcast. Stick around, more to come.
Put your phone down!
I am Son of Heaven. I am the apple of God's eye. I'm strong and I am powerful. God planned me before the foundations of the world. He spoke me into existence. God started my story and He will finish it. I was created with heaven's destiny. I was made to change the world. With God, there is nothing that is impossible for me. I look just like my daddy.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be sitting down with our good friend Chris Jones once again, talking about men of honor. Today, we're discussing navigating transition a little later in the show. Josh Gilbert will be joining us for an interview. So everyone goes through transition from time to time, changes needed in order to accomplish certain things. And a lot of folks are in fear of change. A lot of folks don't really know how to navigate transition very well. So let's just discuss this a little bit.
Yeah, well, transitions are a normal part of kingdom life. The Bible even talks about there being seasons, right? Seasons in the kingdom, seasons of life. Everything is really, if you think about it, in constant transition. I mean, we're just, you talk about kingdom, talk about being transformed. It was such a big deal to Paul that he said, you know, I'm like a woman in childbirth until Christ be formed in you. I don't know if he was a little frustrated there or what.
Yeah, I find it slightly offensive that he said that, actually, but whatever. Sorry.
So transition's a big deal and, you know, not always done gracefully, especially when you think about, you know, where you have a bigger institutional setting like a church, you know, it's, man, we have classic stories of like, don't change the carpet, don't change the drapes, you know, right. Or we're out of here, you know.
Who got rid of all the plants?
But we have to recognize that transition is necessary, that changing seasons are necessary, and that change is necessary if we're going to become people that see transformation in our families, in our churches, and in our city. I think it's especially important because when you become a leader, your job, one of your primary jobs, is to raise up other leaders. And when you do that, they eventually are going to take your job. And the goal is that they do it better than you.
Right.
That is transition. And that's one of the things that we talk about a lot because we have seen it not done as well as we'd like. So we have it on our hearts to do it as well as we can to really release the next generation, raise up sons who become fathers that empower people to transition, empower people to do what they're born to do, step into their destiny.
I think it's great if you're the kind of person that loves change, you thrive on it, you know, you get a high from things constantly change. It's a big adventure, right? I am not that person. I hate change. Change is scary. I don't like it. I want it to go away. But a life with no change is actually death. So it's a necessary part of our survival and us living on the earth. So it can be painful. It can be scary. It can be hard to navigate. And I, for one, am a great example of someone who has had some moments that were not so pretty.
Well, we tend to focus on the big transitions, those big life choices, those things that really change your lifestyle. But if we really look at it, we're really always kind of metamorphosizing.
Nice.
I think Paul said he found the secret. It is to be content in all things.
Yeah.
And it's something that he had to learn. And it's learning to be content, whether everything's going smoothly or whether everything's in upheaval.
Yeah.
And just taking life one moment at a time, living right now, and not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about the transition, not worrying about what if this happens or that happens. But really dreaming big and being ready for anything and okay with the way things are. You know, it's a beautiful place to be, contentment. It's great.
And there's always seasons within the seasons. There's change happening within change. And if we can partner with the Holy Spirit and really grab on to what season we're in, we can actually put our shoulder to it better and make it more productive. And that is a little easier for me than just flailing about, not knowing what season I'm in. And it makes it a lot easier.
So many amazing mental pictures happening when you just mention the words flailing about.
I may have flailed about more than once.
So let's be a little vulnerable right now. Let's talk a little bit about the transitions that we're going through. What are the things that are happening right now and what are we doing with it?
Well, I like what you said, Haley, about recognizing the season you're in and partnering with it. I think that is everything, to recognize the season you're in, because if you don't, you feel lost, and nobody likes to feel lost. Nobody can handle transition feeling lost. And that's not the Lord's heart for us. We're not lost. You know, we're not flailing about. When we were in Kansas City, right before we moved here, we went through a 7-year transition. We had no idea what season we were in. And that kind of stunk, you know. But looking back, we're like, oh, totally could see what the Lord's doing there, duh, you know. But that woke us up to go, okay, let's be a little more intentional with transition, with our seasons, and figure out what is He doing, and let's partner with that. That was the last really big transition for us.
Yeah, I feel like we had a big transition when we came down here, and right now we are in a season of movement, of doing, of it feels really busy. It feels a lot busier than I am actually comfortable living my life. But I do feel like it's just a season, and that the Lord has given me the grace and the strength to partner with Him in this particular season. So I have tried to manage my own heart and put myself in a position where I can cooperate with Him instead of constantly digging my heels and going, no, this is not how I want to live, you know, because I know that this season is not forever. It will come to an end, and then I will go into a new season and go through the process of that. So I'm trying to be very present where I am at right now today.
You know, whenever we go through transition, a lot of the times we'll get a vision or an impression or something from the Lord of down the road. And a lot of times that's confirmed through other people as well. And a lot of times that thing helps us hold on whenever we don't see anything happening right now. You know, there are times when everything's just dropping, boom, boom, boom. Favor's like very apparent. And then there are other times where it's like, I don't even know what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
But I do know what He said, and I do know where I'm going. I find in those times, the biggest intention that I can have in my heart is to remain honorable. Stay in a place that honors the vision God's given me. And it's not bailing ship. It's not running away. It's not flailing about. You know, it's staying honorable and honoring His word. He, you know, what He's told you, just believe it and stick to it and be honorable. Yeah.
I think that's a great example of the scripture, when you put your hand to the plow, not to look back. That you are plowing forward, and you may not be to your destination, but you don't look back. You don't change your mind. I also think in transition, it is really important to be, and this is me being a girl, I think it's important to be kind to yourself and understand that sometimes they're hard and they're emotional. Even if it's a transition of moving from one place to the next, that can be very difficult for families, for young families. And sometimes we just have to allow ourselves some time to grieve what we're leaving behind and then look forward to the future.
Yeah. I love what one of our moms and dads spoke into our lives, Haley, Tom and Diana Trout. They said, once you've heard God about a situation and you move towards it, don't ever look back. Yeah. Don't ever second guess it. Don't ever question it. You have His word for this season, for this moment, for this transition. Don't ever doubt it or look back, no matter what happens. You know, if you know that you know, then stick to it. And that kind of ties in with what you were saying, Josh. And that's the power of His word in our life. Not only, you know, just reading our Bible and finding out His heart and His nature, but that's the power of community. And we've seen this so many times where what just happened at last house fires, at the very end, prophetic words just kind of burst into the room, and they were confirming words mostly. That plays a very big role in contentment in our lives, to know, oh, He knows my name. He's telling me my situation many times in a row. And that gives us such confidence to be in the waiting, to be patient, to have endurance and things like that.
It is hard. The waiting part is one of the things that's really hard for me. I get discouraged in the period of time between you have a direction from the Lord and actually making it to your destination. And that's hard for me, except that I know that God values that portion of the process in between probably just about more valuable to him than the actual destination, because that's the part where you have to be completely dependent on him.
And I think that you make up for ground if you were to back out and bail ship. I mean, getting back around to finding that place where you're on track can be a big winding detour, you know?
Yeah.
And just knowing that, hey, this is going to be shorter sticking it out than it ever will be bailing ship.
That's right, true.
You know, and it's a long road back whenever you bail out. So stick to the course, keep the faith, and be a man or woman of honor. We're going to be discussing that more in detail next week. Men of Honor with Chris Jones. He'll be on the program with us, and we'll be discussing Kingdom Men on that program. Well, today we've been talking about navigating transition. We'll dive into that a little bit more with Josh Gilbert coming up on the program. Thank you for listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Recently, there has been an opening for sponsorship of the program. If your group or organization would like to sponsor the Next Gen Worship broadcast, please email us info@nextgenworship.com. This is a powerful way to partner with a movement that is inspiring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Become a sponsor of the Next Gen Worship broadcast today. Find out more information at nextgenworship.com or submit your request for sponsorship via email info@nextgenworship.com. And thank you for supporting the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be talking with Chris Jones a little bit about Men of Honor, discussing the role of men in the kingdom. Really looking forward to that program. Today, we've been discussing navigating transition, and someone who's done this very well, our really good friend, now in the Orlando, Florida area. We're fortunate to have Josh Gilbert on the program with us today.
Josh Gilbert, man, so great to have you on the podcast today. Been friends with you for a while, been connected, talked a little bit back and forth. You've been a listener of the podcast for a while. Man, welcome to the show.
Yes. Oh, it's such an honor. Like, I don't deserve to be on here, actually, because of the amazing people you've had on here, just all their stories, you know, even your guys' story between the two of you. Josh and I go way back. Man, it's like a kid watching his favorite football team play, and then he gets to go down and talk to him.
That's awesome. Hey, give us a brief history of Josh Gilbert. You're a worship leader. You're a recording artist. You've had some cuts on the radio. Just give us a little history. Help us to understand who you are.
Yes, I am the worship leader guy with a bun. That he never cut. No. You know, it's a long story, but I am an aspiring touring artist, I guess Christian, you know, worship leader and songwriter. And ever since I was 7 years old, I wanted to do that for a living. That was back when you could find a record deal with a label and they actually couldn't, you know, make something happen with a CD, physical CD, you know. This is a and then I grew up listening to tapes and all that. But anyways, I just had that stirring in my heart to pursue that and pursue music. A bit of a trailblazer as far as that goes, and just made a lifestyle out of touring the road, you know, hundreds of concerts a year, really, from age about 20, you know, right out of college. I took 2 years of college in media, but decided to hit the road, and me and my brothers hit the road, and we did like 200 concerts a year, living out of a van, all this crazy stuff. It was full on. It was the hippie dirt road life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We didn't have a lot to go off of other than just felt God calling us to make music. Some of it was Christian, but some of it was secular, and just whatever we could do and wherever we could play at the time, you know. Just you had experience playing for so many different types of people outside the church, inside the church. When I say that, I mean playing at a youth group, playing at cafes and coffee shops when that whole type of thing had started to emerge, and played at venues and bars and everywhere. Just kind of made a lifestyle out of it. It's been a long road, but a few years ago, God called me to be more focused and choose one thing. In other words, if God says to me, if I'm calling you into Christian music for my name's sake, you know, don't be ashamed. Because sometimes in outer circles outside of Christianity, we kind of get this face like, well, what kind of music do you do? Someone's asking, well, it's Christian music. You know, we kind of get this stigma about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I grew up with that, and it kind of drifted away, to be honest with you, from Christian music, just because it had this, I don't know. I don't know what it is or where people have heard or why we feel this way. Really, not too much reason to feel that way, but yeah, just pushed me into that, and it got me connected with a small record label a few years ago in Tennessee, not in the Nashville area, but just eastern side of Tennessee, close to Chattanooga, which is where I'm from, and where I kind of grew up, and there, you know, after having a relationship with them for about a year or so, my good friend Jones Bean, who's the manager there, kind of put before me, he's like, well, we're doing all Christian music. He's like, I like your talent, and you're talented, and you're driven, and you know, you have the guts, and you're in for the long haul. But he's like, you really need to zero in on what God's called you to do. So that was a bit of a nerve-wracking season, kind of letting go of some things and just placing it in God's hands. Even if it looked like I didn't make as much money for a while, or if I was going to struggle more, or whatever, you know, it's a tough struggle if you're a fellow musician out there. Hang in there, because if God's called you to it, he's going to make a way. But sometimes it looks like 10 years later.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a Joseph experience. Yeah. And for the young guy in music, I say, well, hang in there and be in it for the long haul. You know, don't try to make things happen too quickly. Because sometimes he has a 10-year plan or 20-year plan, and you have no idea what kind of character shape you're in.
Right.
At the time, you're not aware of that. You're not awakened to, oh, man. And then also, you don't know what kind of character he's forming for you to be in the future. So it's mostly about that.
Yeah, that's
so
really good.
I was in the character shape in my life. I was in, you know, musically, I was in shape. Hundreds and thousands of concerts. I mean, good grief. Just nonstop. It's like training for something. If you're training for battle, if I just train my arms to shoot the gun, but I can't walk anywhere to get on the field.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't make the journey, over the hills and through the jungles, whatever terrain he's calling me to, or if I can't work well with people, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That was kind of my issue. You know, I love people. I'd say I'm on the humble side of the rock stars or wannabes in my early days, but, I wasn't a people person. But he completely shifted that in me in order to bring me into more of my calling. And so sometimes we need to be patient in that transition sort of thing. And the transition may be year long, maybe 10 year long.
Yeah.
Getting that character shape.
That's really good. I was going to say, speaking of music, I want to talk about one of your latest songs. I love this song, Holy Spirit Come. Tell us a little bit about that and give us a little bit of the song story.
Yeah. Well, that came a couple years into being partnered with the label, and basically, it came from a place of allowing me the freedom to be full of God. And I couldn't hide that anymore in music or in a message or behind subtlety. You know, I'm like, God, I just want to all out pursue you in music. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I hadn't always had the freedom to do that and to be myself fully until several years ago in this season. And I think Holy Spirit Come just came out of just a genuine place of, God, I want to be Spirit-led. I don't want to be self-led. Just that simple declaration, just that simple subject of surrendering everything to him, no matter what the future looks like.
Yeah.
And I wrote that working in church ministry, very traditional churches, very, stuck in their ways, kind of an atmosphere where it's like, what would happen if we actually entered into a song like this, just as an example of, what would praise become? You know, what would this atmosphere of worship in this church in particular I was working at, what would happen if we actually made this declaration? Holy Spirit, come and move on us in this place. You know, what would happen to our hearts if we actually got to that place of invitation?
Yeah.
As opposed to just doing our programming, as opposed to having our agenda. You guys talk about that all the time, but honestly, I haven't, I never really had the freedom or was in the community that had the freedom to experience that or to go after that. Weird. Well, that's Pentecostal weirdness, so we're not going to talk about that. But that's really where this song, it's like we love all these strategies and theology and preaching and doctrinal teaching and to do, but what would happen if we just stopped as a congregation or even just a church with a big C took a moment to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. And I mean, that may sound like super spiritual to say and just overly simplistic, but that's really what was happening to me. And it was my heart's cry for those around me, like to experience the Holy Spirit working in their lives instead of them just spinning their wheels.
Yeah, that's so good, man. Hey, tell us about your newest adventure. You've recently transitioned from Chattanooga. You're on an adventure with God. You've only been in Florida for a month, but tell us kind of what's going on and what you guys are dreaming about down there and what you're doing.
Simple way to say it is that God called me to Central Florida. And it's a kind of a place I was born. I was born in Central Florida. My family's from Central Florida, but it's not really a place I wanted to go, but just after several years of being connected with a ministry down here, a media ministry that was in the birthing stage, just after a while, God presented an opportunity and presented a missionary calling, in a sense. Like, hey, go down there and work with creatives as a pastor and as a worship director, you know, building worship teams and a worship sound down there in Central Florida. So that's what happened, and me and my wife prayed about it for a long time. You know, we came to this conclusion together. We knew God wanted us in church ministry or within a certain city. I really feel like that this is where, as far as the calling wise and our family, like where that, you know, God has called us. And so that's where we are. And we moved to Solar House in Chattanooga, Tennessee, is where I'm from. And we just kind of uprooted there and, you know, hey, God, this is really what you have called us collectively, us. And we're going to make the move. And we moved down to Central Florida, west side of Orlando in Winter Garden. It's a beautiful little area of town. Doesn't quite have a big city feel. So, you know, we feel like a little more at home because we're used to, you know, Chattanooga and East Tennessee and the Appalachian Mountains. And, you know, we're used to that country feel. But we're just taking a step of faith and we're here after a month.
That's cool. What are you dreaming about for the future? What are the things that God is kind of birthing in your heart, your God-sized dreams, we like to say?
Well, you know, right now it's the ministry is called Ekbalo. Ekbalo Production here in Winter Garden. And really their vision is to go after all media. So that's film, the music industry, live experiences, animation, children's programming, just any sort of platform, and just to create godly content that's well done and not just, oh, this is a Christian movie, you know, not just this stigma of we want to share God's creativity to the world, because God, ultimately, he's our source. The creator is the source of creativity. So that's the huge vision. I was called to be a part of Ekbalo to head a music ministry, and primarily my focus is live music. So I just have a heart for that live music. I have a heart for, you know, stewarding the presence of God through song and building worship teams. I think the long haul, Ekbalo means to send out and to cast out and to drive out. And then Jesus uses the word Ekbalo in Matthew 10. And there's one portion, too, where he talks about being sent out, Ekbalo, to the harvest. We feel that that's what the ultimate goal is. And that's what I'm dreaming for the future, is to kind of raise up worship teams and bands creatively expressing worship from their heart, which is true worship, not someone else's replication of worship or someone else's song. Really, the song from your heart, I feel that God wants to hear. And we've been hiding that for years. In Ephesians 5, Paul instructs us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and always be making music from your heart to the Lord. So that's language of, hey, this is creation. This is making music from your heart. Not just, oh, she's singing a little song and with all her heart. No, I don't think that's not the language there. You know, the language is you're actually creating music from your heart to the Lord. So that's wow. That's a high calling. And, then a caller's vision is to be sent out. So I dream of building up teams, maybe even creating a worship school in the future that would send people out to opportunities as opposed to just keeping them in one place or one church, you know, church building ministry, for instance.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, we want to connect people with you and with what you're doing now. Give us some websites, some social media links, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. I mean, really, just you can search Josh Gilbert Music on Google and stuff and Facebook and Instagram and those types of things. As far as the production studio, it's in the birthing phase. I mean, it's very, very new. So the website is under construction, but yeah, if you can just follow my page and I'll be making announcements and sharing what's going on. For now, you can also look up on Facebook E-Studio in Winter Garden, and you should be able to kind of see a glimpse into some things that are going on there. Not a lot right now. Again, it's still in the building phase, but that's so where good. You can connect with me.
Awesome. Well, Josh, it's been an honor to have you on the show. You've got a voice, and you're doing some really incredible stuff, and we just really appreciate you and your friendship, and man, we just champion you, and we say go for it.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys for your influence and encouragement.
So great to hear Josh Gilbert's voice on the program with us. What a great friend, and it's going to be a lifelong relationship with that like heart for sure, and what he's doing there in the Orlando, Florida area, which will eventually reach around the globe. So we're cheering him on and looking forward to what God is going to do in and through his life. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with another really good friend, Chris Jones, discussing men of honor, the role of men in the kingdom. Look forward to that program when we mine our Father's heart and find out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. Join us then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.